Tyra. It seems not a, I'm not the type to put it in as a series or anything, but it's part of what we're studying when Isaiah was speaking of judgment of the whole world, judgment of the whole known world at that time. Tyra, if we want to look in on Tyra at the 23rd chapter of Isaiah, the 23rd chapter, and it's only about 18 verses, and it's the burden of Tyra, and it's him, the destruction of Tyra. And you wonder why, you know, we know the world is going to be judged whether you know the scriptures or not, you know, whether you're outside of God or not. So a lot of people in Romans, and I think it's Romans or whatever, when God says that we should have known him, you know, by just the manifestations in the universe, he had made himself known to us. I'm not going to read that on Tyra, but you need to read chapter 23, and it talks about Tyra and other places, and Ezekiel goes in further depths of Tyra. And Tyra, a lot of people say in Ezekiel, what is the 26th chapter, 28th chapter, some of those chapters, that one of them is kind of describing Satan as being of Tyra or whatever, but I can argue the point that all of us have a little bit of the devil in us, all of us, you know, until we born again, born of God, we all under the same thing as Tyra was. When we talk about Tyra, Tyra was the New York City of its day, and God's prophesying of its defeat in the 23rd chapter of Isaiah. Though it would survive, it would be brought into line with God's purpose for Israel. He depicts the commercial merchandising system of this heathen city as harlotry. In other words, it wasn't the sin or the sins that we're looking at that Israel committed, but it was more like a figurative sin in the book of Revelation. It was harlotry. But the lesson is taught because of the motivation of the people and of the mindset. We have to be of the mindset of what Deacon read in Philippians there, that our mind, our conversation, everything be of as to the Lord. It is in the Lord. Those people in Tyre, a lot of them or whatever, they were great merchandisers. There was prolific merchandising. It depicts the commercial merchandising system of the heathens. That's the epitome of it, is Tyre. Tyre was given, and they wasn't go away like Babylon was and never be rebuilt again. We see where Isaiah, he talks about Tyre coming back, but when it comes back, it says, and her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. In other words, like going to the priesthood, going to the things of God. Because of the mindset that they will be going on. And I don't see where it speaks of a conversion of Tyre. You know, it's in parts of the Bible where it says that we would inherit the heathen or whatever. That's going to make me chase a rabbit further than I want to, or chase out something that I couldn't end out tonight or whatever. But it's some of the things that causes you to further think if you're placing your mind in Christ. In other words, if a good bit of your day is given to meditating in the Lord, praying and reading, you will start thinking more about the things of God and his world instead of the world here. If your mind's spent on the things of the world and the places of the world, you'll be like Tyre. You'll start to merchandise, a covet merchandise. It's like the people laying up wealth now, becoming covetous, you know, working and making more money, hoarded money. Whereas when Tyre, the condition comes back, it seems as though they will have a different outlook on money and the things in life or whatever it says. They're not going to store up or lay up wealth. It was like the businessman we talked about, the unfaithful steward, that he was acting as a shrewd businessman. But what he did was ungodly. It didn't teach of any repentance. It didn't teach of something that was right. what the Tyrians or the people of Tyre, they were good merchandisers or good business people or whatever. You know, my daughter, she runs a business or whatever, and you have to be a good business person. I was talking to my doctor this morning, as one of the new doctors I had saw, and I was telling her, you know, that God had given me a way of the doctors I received, they would be knowledgeable and nice and everything. So in every profession, everything it is, God has people within those professions. Luke was a doctor, so we can't say where all doctors would be the same, all lawyers would be the same, or whatever, and scribes or whatever. In other words, God has a people in each area. We think about Hollywood and entertainers in Hollywood. And you have a lot of churches and a lot of people talking about the sin of Hollywood, the people of Hollywood. But there are some actors and people in Hollywood that distance themselves away from Hollywood. But where would we be without some of the entertainment that God has allowed us to see coming out of Hollywood? So we wouldn't want to say we're saved, but that all those people should be condemned to die or whatever. All of them not meaning it and portraying it the way it is or whatever. They need a different mindset, some of them or whatever. I think Chris Tucker, I was reading on him the other day or whatever, he's kind of been dropped out of Hollywood pictures and things or whatever because he can't use profanity or whatever. He had grown up Pentecostal or whatever, but he gotten away from it, but then he got back to it or whatever, and some of the things that was going on in Hollywood or whatever, he couldn't quite do or whatever, but that doesn't stop him from still being an entertainer or whatever and living to do what he was doing. I think it was the young man on Two and a Half Men or whatever, after he came to knowledge of God or whatever, he left Hollywood and left some of the things of it. We don't want to be vindictive when we leave out where we were or what we is, because God may have given us that talent or given us that, and if we do it for good, because you remember when he created the earth, he said he created everything good. Whereas man perverts those things. There was one act, I can't remember his name, African-American, that had given up two roles because it was required some scenes that would be against his religion or whatever. So they talked about that when the president came in, that it's some businessman, that a good businessman, Warren Buffett seems to be a good businessman, and God has nothing against business and merchandising if it's at the right mindset, the right motivations, because that's what God has us here for, but we need to be doing it as unto the Lord. And so we have a lot of businessmen, and Obama was saying about that, he says, well, he wasn't talking against Trump for being a businessman or whatever, and against capitalism, against capital, but it was the mindset. In other words, he had Donald Trump had cheated a lot of his people. He has a habit of going into litigation, into suits or whatever, not wanting to pay the people right that works for him or whatever, and declaring bankruptcy or doing a whole lot, taking advantage of people. But it's nothing wrong with trade and commerce if it's done fairly. And God talks in Proverbs about this, about adjust weights and scales and measures. So we need adequate Christian businessmen and people. That I think that's what's good. And we look at Tyre, and when he gets ready to redo Tyre, that's why I say he purges the whole earth, but the rebuilt Tyre would be of people of the proper mindset. So as he purged the whole earth, there's a lot of people in professions that the wheat has grown up with the tares, and God separates them so the goods could be left where they're supposed to be. Because if you look at it, there's wicked and evil people in the church with wrong motivations, wrong purposes and everything, and that spirit lingers around and stays around. We see in the book of Revelation when he talks about the spirit of Jezebel. Jezebel, we'll talk about her more Saturday or whatever, but she's from this area, Tyre. She's a Phoenician in the area of the Sidonians. But if we research further enough back, we would see that they're in the line, in the lineage. They're ancient people. And paradoxically, if we look through there, we're all connected. But if we go through religion and the mindset of the world and everything, that's where the disconnect is. And religions, some of them divide, and some things divide us, and it's dividing races, and we see the pulling apart here in the nation. Tragically, Israel adopted heathen attitudes and ways of doing business. Israel has a proclivity for taking an idea, a concept from others, refining it, and making it work better than it did for its originators. Yet in doing so, she rejects God's economic system. And that's what happens when we start to get away from God and what we're doing. God had blessed us, and we get away from serving God. One of the preachers that I grew up listening to was C.L. Franklin. And with C.L. Franklin, one of the preachers that my mother raised me up listening to C.L. Franklin. But his daughter left the church or whatever. He was kind of wroth behind it or upset about it or whatever. But she gave her voice to a different calling, a different aspect. And we all know who C.L. Franklin's daughter is. And that's Aretha Franklin, one of the leading soul singers of our time. Unlike Mahalia Jackson, who one of the people my mother listened to a whole lot, and I've listened to that a whole lot. But her whole life was given to gospel music and singing. So whatever we do as unto the Lord or whatever. But like I say, as you do that, you see a mixture come in. Well, now I think Kurt Franklin is one that I could think of, that sometimes some of the songs he wrote and I've heard or whatever, it's the same lyrics or the same way. I don't know what his lyrics is, the music or the beat or whatever. But, you know, some of his stuff, I say, hey, man, is that Flashlight? You know, that's something I listened to in the world or whatever. He may change it and put words to it that are Christian or whatever, but if you listen to that, that's why a lot of people, you know, watch Christian music nowadays, because that's where the money is. That's some of the highest, most expensive music it is, with Christian artists or whatever, and they come in to make money. But that doesn't mean it's godly or that they are godly. You remember this guy Kanye West or whatever? He started going around talking about preaching and singing or whatever, and opening all these things up or whatever. So some people are given to make it money, and that's what Tyra was doing. And it also, when you start doing those things, other types of spirit exude or come in and mix with those. In Amos, the book of Amos, the first chapter, 9 to the 10th verse, God tells us another reason why he was due to Tyra, what he was doing to Tyre. It's Amos 1, 9 through 10. It says, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre and for four multiplied delinquencies, I will not reverse its punishment or revoke my word concerning it. But they, as millmen, deported an entire Jewish population to Edom. So they did it, you know, for gain, for money or whatever. They acted as a middleman in there and did not seriously remember that covenant of brotherhood. He says, so I will send a fire of war, conquest, and destruction on the wall of Tyre, and it shall consume her citadels. So God's judgment on Tyre is similar to that on Philistia, as greedy for gain as the people of Gaza. Tyre breached the agreement they had with Israel and entered into agreement with another people and broken that agreement. God doesn't like us breaking agreements and vows. You remember that was one of the reasons that Zedekiah was punished the way he was punished, because he had broken a vow, and Nebuchadnezzar reminded to him that you swore to me by the Lord your God that you wouldn't break this covenant. And you know, God is the over all covenants and vows. It's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not keep it. And then you can't come up and say, well, this person is ungodly or whatever. That's no reason or basis for that. Solomon, you know, and Solomon is a questionable individual because if you look back, Hiram befriended David. Hiram was a famous Tyrian that, if you know it, you remember Hiram? He's the one that supplied most of the timber and the merchandise for the building of the initial temple. He floated all the lumber and the timber and thing down or whatever, and the deal that he had made and him and David was better, but sometime our children come along and change things or whatever in the cities that in the deal that he made with Solomon or whatever, Solomon didn't quite fairly deal with him. He called the cities dogs or whatever. I forgot the name he used. I'll tell you maybe you Saturday because I wasn't going to have that as part of the teaching tonight. But he wasn't satisfied with the five cities that Solomon gave him as wages for some of the merchandise and labor that he had provided for floating and making the timber, because they was good at shipping and falling trees and doing it. And like I said, God blesses certain people with certain characteristics of crafts or spirits for doing certain things, and God had given them the talent to do that. And that's what merchandising is or whatever. We noticed that Jonah had gotten on a ship, and that's where he went on a ship that was going to where? Tarshish. We don't know which Tarshish it was or whatever, but most commentators and people think it was one of the merchandising ships, because you remember they threw all of the cargo and all of that aboard from off the ship, and it was going to Tarshish. He was going away from Nineveh to Assyria, to Nineveh, where he was supposed to be going, and he got the ship, and he kept going further and further. He grabbed this merchant ship. So Tyre is throughout the Old Testament or whatever. And the Phoenicians, which was a remarkable people, they were part of the Tyrians, the people of Tyre and Sidon. In some Bibles, you'll see it spelled S-I-D-O-N, and then the other one's Z-I-D-O-N. Jesus talked about them, but they were the descendants of the old Canaanites who turned to the sea and founded trading colonies all over the Mediterranean area. That's why you'll see it in the Bible where it says they was the merchants of the nations. And ships of Tarshish was ocean-going vessels of trade, commerce vessels. And when you hear the ships of Tarshish, all of them aren't always from Tarshish, but they set the gold standard. They set the gold standard for shipping or whatever. It's like right now, if somebody tell you, say, well, look, could you hand me a Kleenex or give me a Kleenex or whatever? Do they always hand you a Kleenex or do they hand you a napkin, a paper towel? A lot of times it's a paper towel or just some cheaper version. But since Kleenex was the one that came out with those nose wipes, those wipes or whatever, they call them all Kleenexes, right? Whether it's a cheap brand, a Dollar General store brand or whatever, they call it a Kleenex. Okay. But so Tyre had set the gold standard or whatever. I have one part of this. I may just end up going over it next week about with Tyre. And I'll go over this one later on if we get to it. Tyre in Psalms 83, 1 through 8. Maybe I'll go through that one first and get rid of it or get it out of the way. I'm not going to read it. I'll go through the whole thing on it. But in Psalms 83, 1 through 8, Tyre was included in that because being a merchandiser or whatever, they interfered in the trade, and sometimes they took advantage of Israel because a lot of the trade routes ran through Israel or whatever, and with Israel out of the way, they would be the leading merchandisers or whatever. So it was like knocking the competition out of the way or whatever, but that only happened through certain kings and through certain people. And it's, if you would, Psalms 83, 1 through 8, let me just read it. It says, "Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace or be still, O God. For behold, your enemies are in tumult, and those who hate you have raised their heads in hatred of you. They concoct crafty schemes against your people and conspire together against your hidden and precious ones. They have said, come and let us wipe them out as a nation. Let the name of Israel be remembered no more. For they have conspired together with one mind against you. Against you they make a covenant. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and of the Hagarites, Jebel, Ammon, and Amalek, Philistia, and with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria has joined with them, and they have helped the children of Lot, which is the Ammonites and Moabites, and have been an arm of strength to them. And I gave it to you also in the Living Version, but it just shows you that they were numbered among the enemies of Israel at different times or whatever that came up against them. But I don't think that they were a warring factor against Israel. I hadn't read or studied that, and it seems as though the transgressions that God had on them is their way of acting against the people for gain, for covetousness. But as you remember, they didn't have the word of God. Israel had the word of God. The reason Israel is punished, and they was the chosen people. So God's showing us the chosen people that was punished more than any other people for not abiding in his word or doing what they were supposed to do, because it's like the church. We'll be beat with many more stripes than the people that are non-believers or don't know anything about God, because we know the difference. We know to do right or whatever. So to whom much is given, much is required. So with Tyre, they didn't have the preachers and everything. It's like I said, Jezebel's father was a high priest of the Phoenicians, the Zidonians or whatever. And Solomon not only used them for merchandises and intermarried with them, he brought in their gods and their worship and the things which caused him ill. Let's look at this. Tyre, it is from antiquity. In other words, it's a very old city. And it goes all the way back to the time, if you would look at Joshua, the 19th chapter of Joshua, and I think they were grandchildren of Canaan. I'm not going to go through that tonight, go that far with it, but I just want to give you an overview of who Tyre was, and that God's judge could judge the whole world, just like right now he's in the process of judging the whole world. And he has his people scattered throughout. So we should be witnessing the word of God. That's part of our job, is to let people know why the judgments that are coming up on them, why some of the things are happening. And as if we're doing the work of evangelists or whatever, that's what holds them guilty. That's what condemns them. That's what gives them life. And they hear the word of God and they hear the calling of God and they can turn to be saved or whatever. But the reason I didn't go, I may do a little bit more on that Saturday, but like I said, I don't see the conversion or the repentance, but I do see where that they turn around and bless God's people. And you remember what he said to Abraham, those that bless you I shall bless, and those that curse you I shall curse. And it's a lot of people that are not in church, that don't even, you know, they know of God or whatever. It's like Nebuchadnezzar and some of the kings during those days. If they find out you're a true child of God and they believe that you serve a God, a true God, and your beliefs are real, they will honor you for that or respect you for that. And it's a lot of people that don't go to church or whatever say, but look, they're real, man, we don't want to do this right in front of the preacher or whatever. So they're not committed or called or whatever, but they do respect the God of that individual. You have neighbors and people that do a lot of good or whatever. They don't even realize what's causing them or why they're living that way. But it's our job to introduce that God to them. So Joshua 19 and 29, it says, and then the coast turned to Hamath and to the strong city of Tyre. And the coast turned to Hasha, and the outgoing thereof are at the sea from the coast of Achish. Now, these were some of the people that they were supposed to be destroying or whatever. They was in the land. They was part of in Canaan. They were some of the Canaanites. And apparently their trading and the stuff that they had did or whatever had caused them, just like a lot of times the people in the church move way away from God. It's a lot of people in church, and you got business people and things. It's like I was telling you, they're looking at Farwell now, how many millions of dollars and everything that he had given to the Trump campaign. But a lot of the church has apostatized. They have deacons and boards and things, and they run it as a business, and they're investing in everything. So they're taking the church, they're apostatizing the church. In other words, as in Jude says, these are men of old ordained unto condemnation that comes in and corrupt the rest of the body. See, because Ahab had potential, and God had Ahab to, he had won several battles against Ben-Hadad. But Ahab was a what? A weak man, and this woman Jezebel was stronger than him, and it pulled him away from God. You see, that's what happens, is if Adam would have stood where he was supposed to stand and overcame Eve, because, you know, we don't know. Well, let me not get into that, because without that you can't link it. But God had designed man a different way, with a different knowledge and understanding, that he is held accountable. That's why he says that for husbands to live with your wife and deal with them with understanding or whatever, because the accountability is different. He can hold that man to a different accountability standing than he do that woman. If we look through the Bible, we see that that's so. We see that Abraham and Adam, he says, now because you've listened to your wife, that's why I'm doing this, because you're head of that household. You had been put in charge of that, and Abraham, I'm looking at you. But anyhow, Tyrus was a jubilant and joyous city, just like this nation is, like the United States is, and it's more parallel with the United States. The reason I'm teaching that to you is that we come away from what we was as a nation. I would taxes and everything else in religion is in worse shape than Great Britain, and that's one of the reasons they say they had left Great Britain, ironically or whatever, that they rebelled from under the leadership, from under the kingship of Britain, was why? Because of taxes and freedom of religion, right? And we see where that's the two corrupting factors here. So God judges us just like he did Britain, just like he did Tyra, because wealth, he tells you, be careful when you get wealth that you don't forget the Lord God, because when you get a few coins and things in your pocket like the Laodicean, you forgot who got you there. You might not be aware of who brought you to that place. The daughter of Zion, they're called the daughters of Zion in Isaiah 23 and 12. The daughters of Isaiah 23 and 13. And it's the crowning city. All those is from the book of Isaiah, what we're doing this week. The renowned city is in Ezekiel 26:15-17. It says, thus says the Lord God to Tyre, shall not the coastland shake at the sound of your fall, when the wounded groan, when the slaughter occurs in your midst, when all the princes of the sea will go down from their thrones and remove their robes and take off their embroidered garments. They will clothe themselves with trembling. They will sit on the ground, tremble again and again, and be appalled at you. They will take up a dirge, in other words, a funeral poem to be sung for you, and say to you, how have you perished and vanished, O renowned city from the seas, O renowned city which was mighty on the sea, she and her inhabitants who imposed her terror on all who lived there. Man, that's exactly, that sounds like this nation, doesn't it? It sounds like this nation. And who could imagine that this nation would fall? But look at the condition it's in. Kind of sounds like things I've been preaching over the last 4 or 5 years, that internally that we would be fighting with each other, and that it would be a division, and that it would tremble from that. that would be the destruction of it. We see they still, the presidential election is still not over, because on January 6th, Mitch McConnell himself even is trying to warn his senators not to stage this coup, because they are talking about staging a coup on the 6th of January in the Senate and the House confirming the Electoral College. You already have Mo Brooks and two representatives that's going to vote against this. And you have two senators, if you have Ted Cruz and some other senators, they vote against it, then you may be in another 2 or 3 months, they can dispute that and dispute the election. You see, so what has happened, was good, but it's teetering, and what do you hear? That democracy may can fall. Because that's what it looks like. That it's a hypocritical nation, and you see it's about a 50-50 split. It was 78 million to 75 million or 70 million or something. He won by 8 million votes or whatever. So it's right there, 50-50. The half of the nation probably needs to be purged like he purged Tyra, because they have the wrong motivation and the wrong intent. Insular position. Insular position. That word insular means insulated, isolated, island. Tyra started off, I told you they was colonists or whatever, but they loved colonization. But being merchandisers or whatever, they had a seaport where they, but they also built an island a little bit further off from the mainland, so in case they got attacked or whatever, they would run to this island and resort to the island. So it took 2 or 3 different nations after a while to bring Tyra down. Assyria attacked it. Babylon attacked it. And none of them brought it down. But then the last time, Alexander fulfilled the prophecy on destroying of Tyra and brought it. And I don't know if we could be able to look at that during this series of teaching. It was strongly fortified. I got the different things there. 2 Samuel 24 and 7, Zechariah 9 and 3. It was governed by kings, and it was celebrated for its beauty. And I tell you, that was one of the things why they said it was more like, they thought, you know. But that's what each one of us have that little thing inside of us of wanting to be God. Like, none of us sees ourselves as we really are. It takes God to convict you, to see or show you for who you really are and your worthlessness and who you really are. Other than that, we have a danger. We don't see ourselves that we are our worst enemy. Unless we're converted, unless we have another heart, unless we are born again, we won't see the kingdom of God. Unless that happens, you're destined to die. And perish. Unless you repent, Jesus said, y'all shall likewise perish. Ezekiel 27, 3-4 says, O mighty seaport city, merchant center of the world, the Lord God speaks. You say, I'm the most beautiful city in all the world. You have extended your boundaries out into the sea. Your architects have made you glorious. They've built it to be one of the greatest merchandising cities in the world. It's like the New York City of the world. It's like China's trying to take over in imports and exports in a commerce or whatever. They're trying to take over in being a large commerce, and now we're exporting, importing from them, and they're exporting more than any other nation. So it's in the midst of it happening. But a lot of people that's in the world that is not studying and looking at it, but that are caught up in the world, they don't see what God's doing. They don't see the fall of these nations. They don't see God judging the world, because they're serving the world. They're serving manna. And we know you can't serve manna and God. So they're blind, the God of this world. Materialism, things have blinded them. So it's the commerce center. And we'll see that Saturday, Isaiah 23, 2-3. And today we're looking at Ezekiel 27, 12-25. It says Tarshish, which is in Spain, was your custom and traded with you because of the abundance of your riches of all kinds, with silver, iron, tin, and lead that paid for your wares. Javan, which is Greece, Tubal, and Meshach, all of Asia Minor, traded with you with the lives of men taken as slaves. You remember I told you that they enslaved some of the people of Israel and Edom, and they sold some of the Israelites or whatever, but they was merchandisers. It was just like building of this nation. You remember the slave trade? God has to pay all people back for the deeds done in the body. You know when people are talking about reparation and God has to pay reparations. In other words, everything or every transgression has its just recompense of reward. So you can't bury things. These things don't stay buried. Everything did in the dark is coming to the light. So what foundation was this nation built upon? What foundation is your life built upon? Unless you built upon Jesus Christ and Him alone, if He's not the chief cornerstone, everything else is going to pass away. You're building with wood, stubble, and hay. What are you counting on? That's why I say, if you're not born again, that's meaning you're counting on yourself, pulling yourself up by your own bootstrap, up on merchandise. And you see what this nation is. They don't care about one another or whatever. They're thinking about their own rights. They're not thinking about that you can kill somebody else by not wearing a mask or by living a certain way. They're thinking about money, money, money. That's why the football games, that's why they don't want to shut things down or do things, because I might lose my money. They paid for merchandise. Those Armenian traders of Beth Togarmah traded for your wares with chariot horses, war horses, and mules. The men of Dedan were your traders. Many coastlands were your markets. Ivory, tusk, and ebony they brought to you in payment of as gifts. Aram traded with you because of the abundance of the goods you made. They paid for your merchandise with emeralds, purple, embroidered work, fine linen, coral, rubies, Judah, and the land of Israel. They were your traders. So Israel was a part of this. That's why I say we don't realize what we all complicit in and have a part of. That's why I say that what God does, and when you come to the Lord and He starts to convict you and pull you out of the world, that's why you stop watching certain things on television. That's why you start watching your conversation. That's why you start taking heed unto yourself and say, look, Lord, I was doing this all the time. And that's why you work and strive so hard, because you're wondering, Lord, please don't let me go for this, because now I see I was just as bad as everybody else. I was part of the problem. You see, but unless God's convict you, you have an excuse for what you did. You don't think you was that bad. You think you were better than everybody else because you don't have the Spirit in there convicting you of sin. So you're not repenting and keep turning to God, because with the Spirit, you always convicted. You walk circumspective. You're being careful of what you say or what you do, how you treat everybody, the things you do. You walking in the presence of God. That's why you always pray to God and making supplication, because now He's showing you, you walked this road before. Are you going to make different decisions this time? He's giving you a second chance. You be asking for that do-over. He's giving you a do-over, but it takes courage to do that do-over. It takes separation. But all of the nations was complicit. Just like right now, the United States is complicit. All of the nations have been complicit with it. And if this nation fall, they all fall. That's why they go all mourn and weep. It's the economy, stupid. That's what they said. It's about the dollar. Cast you a sweet cane were among your merchandise. Dedan traded with you in saddle blankets for riding. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar, they were your customers for lambs, rams, and goats favored by you. For these, they were your customers. The merchants of Sheba and Rama in Arabia, they traded with you. They paid for your wares with the choices of all kinds of spices and all kinds of precious stones and gold, Haran and Canaan and Eden, which is in Mesopotamia. The merchants of Sheba on the Euphrates, Asher, Chemont traded with you. They traded with you in choice fabrics and garments and clothes of blue, violet, embroidered work, and in treasures of multicolored damask and knotted carpets bound with tightly worn cords, which were among your merchandise. The ships of Tarshish were caravans for your merchandise. So you see, it was a very wealthy city. They traded with everybody for everything. Wasn't anything that they wasn't involved in. They had their hands, like this nation does, in everything. Like a lot of us, our hands are in everything. It's about accumulation of wealth. It's about accumulation of goods. But we see the latter-day Tarsus, Tyre, Sidon, is not laying up wealth. It's dedicating its goods, its wares to the Lord. It's a reformed Tyre. See, because anything that's dedicated to God, it's totally consumed, it's totally destroyed, and built back up. That's like us. We're dead to sin. Once we die to self. So we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, so we are being created anew. The old things have passed away. You see what I'm saying? So now, that's why you don't have to preach in tithes and offerings to God's people, because they could do like the people did with Moses or whatever. He had to tell them not to give, that they were bringing too much, because then they were using merchandise. They didn't have cash or whatever, the money the way we do today. So they didn't have places to store all the goods and things the people were bringing. So he says, you've brought enough for right now. Well, when you can tell God's people, because like I said, when they get paid, they get money or whatever, the first thing they do, they want to give to God. They're aware of who gave them what they got. They will put that aside for God. It's dedicated to God, and they know everything they have is dedicated to God. All that they have laid up, their health, wealth, everything belongs to God. Their children are dedicated to God, and they will teach them the things of God, and they will be adamant against that, and that's where the division comes in our homes and places and everything. Because if Ahab was of God, he would turn against his wife. Just like that's what David's falling was, that he allowed his sons to get away from God, just like Eli allowed his children. But God, Jesus says, unless you hate mother, father, sister, brother, in other words, unless you're willing to stand up for the things of God, stand up for God, because if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have those children. You wouldn't have that wife. You wouldn't have anything. Right? Yeah. So Job was one that knew that. So what did Job say? The Lord give it, and the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of God. See, he wasn't like the Tyres. He knew where his wealth had came from. So that wasn't one of the things. That's why Job knew that wasn't one of the things he was doing against God. So if you know how hard you're striving to serve God, you can rule out some things that you're not doing against God. It has to be some other area, and you hope God show you those areas where you're deficient in it. He's showing you your hidden sins. Right? That's what you're asking God. So they said, if we're going to find some fault in Daniel or whatever, it's going to have to be with his God. So that's why Daniel, put the thing in about praying, because Daniel wasn't about to give up praying. You couldn't come between him and his God. But we love, as Americans, as the church, no height, no depth, nothing could separate me from the love of God. Oh, I'm sorry. Super Bowl come on next week. Either we're going to have the Super Bowl in here at the church, or we're going to have it and watch it on TV. I can't come. Oh, so it's something that'll separate you from God. Huh? Because you're not to have an idol, anything in that place. So maybe if your wife says you can't do it, you can't do it. Maybe those little angels and darlings you got around there, they will come in between you and God. Maybe pain, suffering, and sickness could separate you from God. We love the quote that no height, no nothing could separate us from the love of God. But somebody done stepped on your toe the wrong way. Somebody done offended you. And I got to get him. Yeah, you just got to punish me for this, because I got to get it. He done did this to me. That's what done happened with a lot of Christians. If COVID come along, you're not thinking about your brother. Man, I'm not wearing no mask. I just can't wear no mask. I can't breathe with no mask. But you might take that home and kill your grandmother. You might kill your mothers and brothers. So you don't want the little slight inconvenience of wearing a mask opposed to taking that. A lot of, you remember, that's what they were saying during Thanksgiving and everything, that the children, some of them wasn't coming home from college during the holidays or whatever, because traveling and all these things, you may take something to your parents or to someone in your family or whatever. But no, not America. We can't do that. So what happens? We got a surge up on top of a surge. And by this being a pagan nation, we're not going to let something like Thanksgiving stop us, and we in the midst of a surge with over 300,000 dead. We got a vaccine coming, so we not going to wear masks because we might get vaccinated. Well, plus it's Christmas time, and I got to do something at Christmas time. Oh, so that's the key. You can bring this day, this holiday. Now you got to travel. You got to go do this. You got to go to the Christmas party or whatever. In the White House, they've had, what, hundreds of, how many Christmas parties that they were saying, and no masks or whatever. But aren't you the leader? Shouldn't you lead by example?
Yeah.
Isn't that what Christ says, follow me? Take up your cross and deny yourself? Yeah. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, he didn't say follow me. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. So in any area that your preacher, your leader is not following Christ, that your parents, your wife, or somebody is not following Christ, you stick with following Christ. Don't follow the crowd. You get out the car. You have to know when to get out the car. I'm not going down that road again. This is the narrow road. I need to go down the narrow road. So we go see the merchants of Tyre going down the narrow road, headed back to Christ. They were proud people. I'll tell you about it as well. It says, behold, you are imagining yourself wiser than Daniel. There's no secret you think that is hidden from you. With your own wisdom and with your own understanding, and you have acquired your riches and power and have brought gold and silver into your treasures by your great wisdom, by your trade. You've increased this. Nobody's smarter than you. You got all the wisdom and knowledge and understanding. But it's earthly wisdom. It's earthly understanding. It's not of God. That was part of Tyre's problem. They wasn't thinking. They didn't have the mind of Christ. We should be transforming our thinking in our mind. But these people didn't have the teachings and the preachings that we have, or that Israel had. But God still was judging them for this. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. And with us, God's writing those laws in our hearts. We see in Zechariah 9:2-5, it says, and Hamat also, which borders on it, on Tyre and Sidon, though they are very wise, for Tyre built herself as an impregnable stronghold on an island offshore, and she had heaped up silver like dust and gold like the mire of the street. Behold, the Lord would dispossess her wealth and throw her wealth into the sea, and Tyre will be devoured by fire. So, let alone wealthy, covered in the wealth, and hubric, exuberant pride. They were wise people. They were seafaring people. But sometimes, knowledge is the problem. We become an educated fool. In other words, that has gotten us away from God. We've gotten to school and we've gotten a little intellect. Now we're smarter than our parents. We're smarter than everybody else. That religion stuff you have is old fogey. You've become superstitious. They were very superstitious people. They listened at their prophets and mediums and the magicians, but they were soothsayers. They were people that enchanted them with words or whatever, but they wasn't words of God. They couldn't distinguish the right words. That's why I say the church has apostatized. A counterfeit has come in. They're preaching and teaching, but it's not the right preaching and teaching. So once there's the real, there's always going to be counterfeits to come in. Those are not true. And it says, Ezekiel 28:18, you profane your sanctuaries by the great quantity of your sins and the enormity of your guilt. So you brought that right on in the church with you. You didn't change. You wasn't repentant. And so now you're worse than the first state. Because as the church, we supposed to be a bulkhead or bulwark against that coming into the church. But when it comes in sheep's clothing, when it comes in unwittingly, in other words, that we're not aware and we tolerate, and it appeals to something in us, but it's not what's in us, is that which should not be in us. It becomes a familiar spirit. We like that. That's what draws us to it or whatever. But that's a chameleon. In other words, that's something that came in and subterfuge to pull you away from God. That was a smooth-talking preacher. Paul says there's going to be grievous wolves that enter in from among your own selves. In other words, they're going to be able to preach better than your preachers and teachers. But they're going to have this charismatic spirit. You're going to have females and males, because you remember Jezebel, he mentioned Jezebel in the book of Revelation, says, you allowed that woman Jezebel to teach and seduce my servants. The other night I was sitting there watching something or whatever, and flashed across that Jimmy Kimmel or somebody or whatever. But he was talking about the election. He was talking about Trump's spiritual advisor. You know who one of his spiritual advisors is Paula White. That's the one that, you remember, she had the divorce. She divorced her husband or whatever. And she's a preacher or whatever, and this, and they were showing some things that she was doing that's biblical, but it's like Jerry Falwell or Franklin Graham and the rest of them. It's spiritual and it has appeal to it because it's the gospel being commercialized. It's a prosperity doctrine. You remember, that's what get to Paul said, now beware of prosperity now. Because those that strive or want to be rich, when prosperity came in the church, and that's why I said, remember I told you that, be careful, there's nothing wrong with the right reasons, and God's people are wealthy. A lot of God's people are not lacking in certain areas, and he has those that are wealthy. So I'm not preaching against wealth, but who gave you that power to get wealth? Is it because you didn't sell your soul to the devil? Is it a counterfeit gospel that you buy? Because you remember the five wise and the five foolish. The wise knew that if you hurry out there and try to get it overnight, he says, go to those that buy and sell and get you some more. Didn't they say that? So in other words, it was somewhere that some church was going to take you in and make you preach overnight and say, all you got to do is confess this or do this and give me this and put up your money. But you know, if you're tired of God, give me some money to buy a jet and get the gospel out and do all these things through your works and everything, that, you know, you could be saved and you could hear me preaching, teaching everything. And you could be under the impression that you lull asleep, you lull away or whatever, because what they're preaching to you is in the Word of God. But Paul says, though an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, and there is another gospel, right? So this is the other gospel. And Paul said, let him be accursed. And now you at the gates, you're trying to get in. And you say, Lord, didn't we feed the needy in your name? Didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we do all these things? He says, I never knew you. It was the broad road you was on. It was the merchandise of the malls and the merchandise of this world. But it appealed to some desire in you that should have been crucified. So with all that Job had, Job didn't treasure those things. He wasn't willing to curse God and die. His wife thought his life was lost. Even his health had left him after his children and all the material things he had. But he says, God give it and God take it away. So are you wrapped up in the things you have? That's what happened. That's why he's going to have to take it all from Tyre, tear it down, and let him start from scratch. And a good man don't mind starting from scratch. Right? Because we know, though you fall 7 times, God still can get you up. Life's going to be hard. It's going to be some suffering. It's going to be some ups and downs. But as long as you got Jesus, you've got everything you need. Because you will learn to be content with such that you have. And if he comes along and give you Lamyak, he gives you and throw things to you, you know, by the grace of God, that's how you get it. So that's why you return it so abundantly to him. That's what Tyra learned. So Tyra was spoken of by Jesus Christ. Let me get to this before I close down. Let me tell you about Ezra, because remember I say Tyra helped build the first temple, and it was from Tyra that helped send the material and build the second temple. So we see where the Gentiles are supplying or building the temple, but also they interfered. In the book of Ezra, the timber for rebuilding the temple in Ezra 3 and 7 was supplied by Tyra. But during that time, the Jews were condemned from purchasing from the people on the Sabbath. Because that's why the Jews had went into captivity, for profaning the Sabbath. Right? Nehemiah knew that, and the people of God knew that. But you remember we used to have the blue laws or whatever, where things was closed down on a Sunday and certain things you couldn't purchase or buy on Sunday? Okay, but I don't want to get in this dispute about the day, but that if there's a Sabbath day, Nehemiah 13:12-16, I think it is. Is one day I was on the farm and saw some men threading wine presses on the Sabbath, hauling in sheaves and loading their donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all sorts of produce, which they took that day into Jerusalem. So I opposed them publicly, and there were also some men from Tyre bringing in fish and all sorts of wares and selling them on the Sabbath to the people of Jerusalem. Then I asked the leaders of Judah, "Why are you profaning the Sabbath? Wasn't it enough that your fathers did this sort of thing and brought the present evil days upon us and upon our city? And now you are bringing more wrath upon the people of Israel by permitting to desecrate the Sabbath in this way?" So that's what I'm saying. These people liked it merchandising. But what happened to the people that's doing this? And you say, well, look, let me show you what God says. You shouldn't be doing this on the Sabbath day. And if they give ear and they listen and they're willing to deny themselves, and God indeed is calling them. Now, God's not going to call everybody. There'll be many a call, but only a few chosen. Those that are of God, they will not do it on that day, that out of respect for God, the things of God, growing in God. That's one thing, I think his name is Kathy, has made it wealthy with Chick-fil-A, because when he started out, it was one thing he said he wouldn't be open on a Sunday. Sabbath. You can't buy anything from Chick-fil-A on a Saturday, on Sunday. They're closed on Sundays. But that franchise makes more than any other fast food franchise, because the other 6 days of the week, God causes them to be more prosperous because of that one day honoring God. Elder Wade used to always say this, and that he would tell, I know Brother Noble said, if I catch you out there working on a Saturday, but if you can't make it in 6 days, you're not going to make it in 7. Right? If you can't accomplish this in 6 days, that 7 ain't going to make a difference to you. So God made the heaven and the earth in that 6 days, and on the Sabbath he rested. He set a pattern. He said something. And if we would obey God, if we would listen to God, his laws are things he writes up on our hearts. So it's things that are written on your heart now that wasn't there 7 years ago, wasn't there 8 years ago. But hopefully I've taught you a lot of things, and it even convicts you now that you won't do. It's a lot of things in your life that you're starting to have a conviction of spirit that's in there, and that God, through preaching and teaching, is written on your heart. This is against God. It's even some things that your parents or something could have been tradition or something, but that you know now, well, I believe the word of God, and God has showed me through his word, not just the pastors, because that's where you want to get to the point where your teachers and preachers and things don't get in between you and the word of God, that once they show you the word, it's written on your heart or whatever. So your pastor could pass and die away, or whatever, and you get another pastor teaching. But if he's teaching the word of God, that word is what's written on your heart. That's what abides forever. So that's why a lot of times if the preacher fall, don't mean the church should be falling. It means that we should train somebody up to be able to take his place and continue on in the truth. See, because looking at Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, Jerry Falwell and everything, and I'm not trying to judge them, but I think the apple has fallen far from the tree even in their time, not seeing that those men were right that I named, but just look where their children are at. It's just like with David, look how far Solomon got away from the. So this is something that you have to guard yourself at all times from, because it's not contagious. You can't pass it on to the next generation. The word of God has to do that. God has to be the keeper. So let me close with this. It alluded to their depravity. When somebody compares you to somebody else and make a judgment and then name something else, then they're showing you. Jesus did an analogy through depravity in Matthew 11 and 21. He says, "Woe, judgment is coming on you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, that cities of the Gentile, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Their hearts would have been changed, and they would have been impressed. They would have expressed sorrow for their sin and rebellion against God. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the pagan cities of Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you." I'm going to have more compassion. It's going to be easier for them than it will be on these cities where I taught and preached, because, like I say, he didn't work miracles and the gospel wasn't preached there. He brought judgment upon them. That's just like when Nineveh repented. Jonah just preached that in 40 days Nineveh will be destroyed, and they turned to God. Jesus is telling these cities, if the miracles that I did in these cities was done in Tyre and Sidon, they'd have repented. They would express sorrow. But it'd be more tolerable for you. That's what I say. For this nation, it's going to be worse for the people in this nation than it was for Sodom and Gomorrah. It's going to be worse, the judgment will be worse on them, because to whom much has been given, much will be required. And you're sinning against a greater light. And it's a good majority of the evangelical churches, a good percentage of the Protestant churches, it's a good percentage of the religious people in this nation that are sinning against God because of their, like Tyre, their merchandisers, their hearts are not for God. It's for the things of the world. Jesus visited Sidon. You remember he healed the Sidonian woman's, the woman of Zarephath's daughter? Mark 7:24, Matthew 15:21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came out unto the of the same coast, and cried, saying unto him, "Where's my Jesus? Master, save me." Can I pause this? Matthew 15. My page is cut off here. I'm sorry for that delay. Matthew 15 and 21. I'm looking at my wife now for help here to find it for me. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought her, saying, Send her away, for she cried after her. But he answered and said, I am not sent unto the lost sheep of the house. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered her and said to her, Go your way, great is thine faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was healed in that very same hour, was made whole in that very same hour. Now here's a woman from Canaan in the coast of Sidon, Tyre and Sidon, that has faith. And that's where you find the greater faith is in the people of the Gentiles. He was a light unto the Gentiles. This woman, he even told her, it was not meet to give the children's bread unto the dogs. But with all of these things that he said unto her, notice that she didn't give up, that she got healing for her daughter. See, so the people that we think the least of, the people that we're not really looking at, God is bringing into the kingdom. He says, when Abraham, Isaac and Jacob sit down in the kingdom, the children of the kingdom shall be cast out and others brought in. The very ones of us that are not grateful and thankful to God and striving and seeking to find God. This high-minded nation, the people of this nation that has been so highly blessed of God and has taken advantage of it, don't even know and see God. And what you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me. Behold, Tyre and Sidon is not just given us. The Old Testament is not just given us as history. It is given for our admonition. It is given for our salvation. We should learn from these things. We should learn greatly from these, that but for the grace of God, there go I. We're just like Tyre and Sidon.